Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the NBA Podcast. I'm Brian Toporek, and we have a great episode for you today. We're going to talk about the biggest winners and losers of the offseason. So that includes all the trades, the draft, all free agency signings. Lonzo Ball, of course, huge winner after going 2 of 15 from Summer League last night. We're going to have a lot of Lonzo Ball hot takes as well. Just kidding. Before we get underway, just wanted to remind you that you can follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. In our bio, you can find all of our Twitter handles, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes, so please subscribe, download, leave some reviews. We would love any feedback. And we're being hosted this year on FanRag Sports, so check them out on Twitter at FanRag Sports and for their NBA content at FanRag NBA. While free agency is winding down, Summer League in Las Vegas just started yesterday. The aforementioned Lonzo Ball had a debut to forget, but we will have a lot of good Summer League coverage coming up. And then just plenty of good offseason. We're going to start evaluating teams and seeing how they shake out. So check out FanRag Sports on Twitter. Joining me today, as always, are both of my trusty co-hosts, Morten Jensen and Sarah Chalea. How's it going, you two?
It's going well, Brian. I can't wait for the day that you're going to open up a podcast saying, we have a horrible show for you today.
Well, how are we going to have a bad show if we're going to make fun of Lonzo Ball? Come on.
That's true. That's true.
Sarah, it's good to have you back.
Good to be here. Thank you.
I'm excited to talk about Rudy Gay with you in a little bit.
All right.
So basically what we're going to do today is go through the winners, the losers, and then the teams that are somewhat in the middle of all of the offseason activity. So again, trades, free agency, draft, everything's being taken into account. So I figure we just do it roundtable style. I'll start, and then you guys could just move on, and we'll go through them all and just hit as many as we can in the next hour or so. So obvious winner, Golden State Warriors. They retained Stephen Curry, Sean Livingston, Andre Iguodala, David West, Zaza Pachulia yesterday. Got Kevin Durant at, $6 million less than we thought he was going to sign for. And they stole Jordan Bell from the cheap-ass Bulls. They also signed Omri Caspi and Swaggy P in place of Matt Barnes and Ian Clark. I'm still going to call them a winner, even though they say they're not going to call Swaggy P Swaggy P. Like, they want to use his real name, Nick Young. That shit's not going to fly. He's Swaggy P. Just deal with it, Warriors. But aside from that, the team that just went 16-1 in the postseason got significantly better this offseason, which doesn't seem quite fair. But clear winner on my end. Mort, I'm guessing you don't have any beef with that. So you want to just move on to your next winner?
No, because I had a question. Ian Clark, are we absolutely certain he's not going to return?
That's a good point. I don't know. There was a quote.
I mean, it's already A+.
Right, right.
It could be A++ if he comes back. He was good.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Who was it? Okay, Anthony Slater yesterday of the San Jose Mercury News, Bay Area News Group. He tweeted a quote from Bob Myers about Kevin Durant taking that big discount. And he said, quote, like any business, we have our own financial constraints. Spending isn't limitless. So I'm wondering if, they could bring Ian Clark back, but it sounds like they are pushing against, they're already well into the tax. So bringing him back will cost not just, his salary, but, two, three times as much. So for that reason, I would guess he's not coming back. But it's a good question. It also raises questions about Klay Thompson's future with the Warriors in a couple of years, but we'll go into that at a later date. So, Mort, next winner?
Next winner? Sacramento.
I know.
Which is so weird.
It is weird.
Because it's Vivek, it's Vlade, it's the Kings, it's all that noise that's been there for the last few years, and then they go out and actually make a whole bunch of positive things. They drafted well. They signed well. We spoke about this on the podcast in the last episode, Brian. The George Hill signing, mm-hmm. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. I mean, people who crab on it, I have no idea why. It makes no sense. Good value is good value. We covered that. So the Kings are looking like winners in an offseason, which has to be a first in, seven, 8 years?
Is it only that many? I feel like it might even be longer.
Could be longer.
Yeah. Yeah, even Zach Lowe had a winners and losers column yesterday. He had the Kings as a winner, but he wrote, like, the Kings, wait, checks paper to make sure I'm right. Oh, no, it was the Kings. They're actually good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because not only, well, you mentioned George Hill, but Zach Randolph, you know, whatever, that's a fine price for him, and you're not going to use that
Vince Carter?
Yeah, Vince Carter, and now Bogdan Bogdanovic at 3 years, $27 million. That's good values all around. So, you know, because the West is so good, I think Sacramento is still likely to be very bad. They're likely to still get a top 10 pick, so you add to that core. But yeah, I'm also a big fan of what Sacramento did this offseason.
I'm curious about Bogdanovic's contract, because I've seen 3 years 27, and I've seen 3 years 36.
I think 336 is what leaked at first, but last I saw, it was 327.
Oh, but because I loved it at 336,
mm-hmm.
at 327, it's a freaking steal.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's 327. I will double check while Sarah gives us her next winner, just to make sure. Yeah, Sarah, hit us with a winner. And is it too early to go into the Spurs right now?
Yeah, it's too early. The Rockets, as their neighbors here in Texas, a little upset with how much better they got. Well, I mean, we'll see, but they should be better. Chris Paul, obviously. I was a little, you know, thinking the Pat Beverly thing, they might miss a guy who could physically assault Steph Curry, but then they picked up PJ Tucker, too. And Chris Paul, we all know he's a heck of a defender in his own right. So... Not psyched about that, but and a lot of people are bringing up, you know, how's the fit going to be with Chris Paul and James Harden? They both kind of ball dominant guys, but it's not that they can't play together, but it will be an adjustment. So It'll be interesting to see if it will be a painful adjustment or, you know, how it'll go. It won't be like Kevin Durant going to the Warriors that we thought would be pretty seamless, and it was. And even that, you know, at the end of games got a little dicey. Mm-hmm. If the games were ever close, which they rarely were. So the Rockets might have that problem a little more often. But yeah, it's disturbing, the moves that they made.
Yeah. As you said, Beverly's, you know, a great defender, so they will miss him. And Lou Williams played well off the bench. Sam Decker and Montrezl Harrell, I know Moritz high on the latter. Decker played really well off the bench for them. He got hurt late in the year, and that was a big loss for them. So they did lose a lot of depth, but as you mentioned, Tucker's great. They got Nene back at 3 years, $11 million. I forget who reported this, but they still have like $10 million in non-guaranteed contracts that they're trying to flip. So they might not be done, which is kind of unfair. But yeah, to your ball dominant point, it kind of makes me think, I agree it's not going to be like a KD to the Warriors thing. It makes me think more of like the LeBron James, D-Wade thing. In Miami at first, and it did take them basically a year and a half to figure out how to play off one another, you know,
but with range,
right? Yeah. Right, that does help. Yeah, but I mean, you know, both Harden and Paul were the full-time ball handlers, whereas Bron and Wade like played on ball a lot, but they still played next to point guards, so I think it might be, you know, yes, they could shoot more, or they could shoot from three better, but they're also, it's going to be like an even bigger adjustment for them than it was for Brown and Wade, possibly. But, you know, these guys play together with Team USA all the time, so maybe not. Maybe they slide in seamlessly together, and maybe Harden, like, didn't want to play point guard anymore. Who knows?
It might have
Or maybe Chris Paul is 32 and you kind of go, oh, okay, he's had his time in the spotlight, like, as the primary guy, and he goes to James Harden on the first day that he reports and he goes, kiddo, you've got the juice now.
Yeah.
You've got the juice.
I hope he says it in that exact phrasing.
Yep.
Alright, I'm going to take Brooklyn as my next winner. Stealing D'Angelo Russell from the Lakers was amazing. You know, yes, they took on Mozgov's contract, but like, look, Brooklyn had a lot of cap space already, and no one signing with Brooklyn, no like impact unrestricted free agent is signing with Brooklyn. So if you're a bad team with no draft picks, this is what you do: you take on bad contracts, you get star prospects or star caliber prospects and high draft picks in return. Love that pickup. Jared Allen, after they traded Brook Lopez, I'm cool with that at 22. That's a good flyer. The Otto Porter Jr. contract, I hadn't seen, like, I wrote something at B-Ball Breakdown the other day about Sean Marks just being, like, the god of restricted free agency. Because, you know, he, like, no matter what happens, he wins, right? Like, he either gets a good player, a good young player, and again, they don't have their pick this upcoming year. They just lost their pick last year, which turned into Markelle Fultz. They didn't have their pick in 2016. Like, they haven't had picks for a while. So, you get a guy, like, this is your only chance to get a lottery pick, basically. So, you either get a guy, like an Otto Porter Jr., or an Allen Crabbe, or Tyler Johnson, or you screw the other team over, because you loaded up with, like, crazy incentives, and now their cap is, you know, effed, basically, for the next, like, in the last 12 months, Portland is now screwed because they matched the Allen Crabbe contract along with all the other bad ones they handed out. Miami now, Tyler Johnson's salary goes up from like $6 million this year to $19 million next year. And now Otto, same kind of thing. It's like a 4-year deal, 4th-year player option, 15% trade kicker, and he's owed 50% of his annual salary on October 1st. It's amazing. So kudos, Sean Marks. Again, you stay winning. Mort. Hit us with our next one.
Well, obviously Boston.
Duh. Glad you took
but,
it. I didn't want to.
Yeah. No, I get it, because, look, we need to discuss Boston here, because a lot of people are complaining about what they did, myself included, and I need to be as clear as I can possibly be regarding this. Boston's got better. It's just a question of, could they have gotten even better?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we knew that they were going to upgrade over the summer. We knew that they were getting at least one of Jimmy Butler, Paul George, and Gordon Hayward. The thing was, the worst player of the bunch is Hayward, and he's now also the most expensive. So you're kind of sitting back and going, oh, okay, so you've got option C at a much higher price. You also then had to follow up by trading Avery Bradley. You know, I see what they're doing. I see how they're trying to manage their cap. And then you add into the fact that they traded the number one pick. I know it was to get more assets down the road, but, you know, if Fultz become a fully blown superstar and Tatum becomes just a so-so guy, then that's going to hit them hard. So overall, Boston did well. They improved. They got, you know, a lot closer to Cleveland than they were last season. But I just still am sitting there going, they could have been even better. And that's where the, I guess, complaining part comes in. But overall, I mean, yeah, better.
Right, yeah. You signed Gordon Hayward into cap space, you got better. I mean, losing Avery Bradley is going to hurt. But, you know, getting Marcus Morris, that they basically, Brad Stevens gave a quote the other day where he's like, I don't see 5 positions anymore. I see 3. You're either a ball handler, a wing, or a big. And,
right.
Like, so they're talking about playing, you know, if we're going by conventional positions, they're talking about playing Gordon Hayward at the 2. They're saying, like, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum can play the 2 at times, which, I mean...
Brown, yeah, but Tatum at the 2?
That's what he's saying. So I don't know how it works. You know, they're saying, like, look, we're building around a 5'9 point guard, so we need to have more size around him. So, like, they have the versatility now to throw out all sorts of crazy lineups, right? Like, they have Crowder, Hayward, Brown, Tatum, Marcus Morris, Marcus Smart. All of those guys can play anywhere from... I mean, Smart can play the 1 as well, but they can play at least 2 positions. So, versatility-wise, they're going to be really fun.
It's positionless basketball.
Right. We'll talk about the Paul George thing in a little bit when we get to the losers, because I think it's pretty safe to say Indiana is one of them. We'll get to that later. I'm going to save the fire for that one. So, Sarah, hit us with our next winner.
The Sixers, obviously. I admire your willpower, Brian, in staying away from them. We made it 2 full trips around, and we haven't mentioned it yet.
I'm just glad you took it. I'm glad you took it. I was almost on the verge of just screaming at, take Philly! Take Philly!
Yeah, I mean, we thought that maybe they were going to go for JJ. And it's, like I said, I think I tweeted you at one point, how does it feel to get everything that you wanted? Because the offseason kind of worked out exactly to according to the grand plans of Brian Toporek. So, you got J.J. Redick. Amir is maybe the only questionable thing, but
yes,
obviously Markel Fultz is the number one pick. I like the way the rest of the draft shook out. I mean, they're guys who may or may not come over. I think they have a couple draft and stashes. You know, maybe become future role players, maybe don't, but I like, it's funny, they're both guys that I was looking at for the Spurs, because, there again, I was completely wrong and thought that we were going to take bigs in the draft.
Oh, yeah.
And that didn't happen, but yeah, right. So Lesor and I think it's Pasechniks?
Oh, my. Yeah, yeah, well done.
Thank you, wow, that was toughest part of my day. But yeah, I like both of those guys as prospects, so. It's a good off season for them, and I'm excited to see how they look next year.
Yeah, knock on wood, they'll stay healthy. That would be nice.
Right.
Mr. LeVar Ball needs to get... Embiid just needs to score 100 on the Lakers, so LeVar Ball shuts up forever, because they've been in a feud for about a week now. Yeah, the Amir Johnson thing, I'll get into that a little bit later, too, when we talk about Detroit, because, you know, that's one... I get why they did it, and... he's going to be a valuable member of the locker room, good veteran leadership, good defense. But it's now knowing what happened in the ensuing days, it's hard not to think there's a missed opportunity, perhaps. But we'll get into that when we hit Detroit. OKC, I'm going to say, obvious winner. They stole Paul George. Even if Paul George leaves next year, getting off of Victor Oladipo's contract is a win. Because Victor, you know. He's not worth $20 million a year. Patrick Patterson, 3 years, $16.4 million. Getting Andre Roberson at 3 years, $30 million. I think he turned down, he turned down more than that as an extension last year. So they got him cheaper than they offered, 9 months ago. And Terrence Ferguson, who knows? It was a good flyer that late in the draft. So I think it's safe to say OKC is substantially improved. Yeah, there's a lot of risk, Westbrook and George could both leave next year, but at that point at least you have a clear timetable to be like, alright, it's kind of the same thing where we were talking about trading the Cavs trading for Paul George, where if Paul George and LeBron leave in 2018, it's like, alright, that's what we do, we just blow the whole thing up. So it's going to be a nerve-inducing summer for OKC and a nerve-inducing year unless Westbrook signs that Mega Max extension. But I think they are at least more of a threat to the Spurs, the Warriors, the Rockets than they were a year ago. So
at least they gave it a shot, right? They didn't sit on their hands and wait to see what happened, which is sort of a departure from what they'd been doing. So I like it, yeah.
Yeah. More? Any other winners? Oh, I know. There's one I know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, obviously. Well, Minnesota. Let me have my Minnesota, because, yeah, I mean, obviously they stole Jimmy Butler and the 16th pick for some inexplicable reason, but that's awesome. They signed a guy who I've been talking about for, 5 months now, yeah. Taj Gibson. Makes so much sense. Jeff Teague is the only sort of meh signing. I would rather have George Hill than I would have had Jeff Teague, especially on the same deal, but... like you said on the last episode, Brian, I think that George Hill was kind of looking at bigger money when the Jeff T contract was signed. So it would have made sense if Minnesota reached out and they were told, no, I'm looking for more. And then they say, oh, okay. And then they went to Teague instead. But given that they signed similar contracts, it's a shame that that didn't work out, because he would have fit beautifully next to Jimmy Butler in particular. So they look deep, and if they get Jamal Crawford, and there's a rumor going around that Crawford is interested in going to Minnesota, that is going to add some shooting. And then I kind of toyed around with the idea of, imagine that they somehow got CJ Miles as well.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Well, Indiana, they just signed Bojan Bogdanović, which would imply they don't have intention of bringing back CJ Miles, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean... I don't know. How the hell? It's been a week. We're a week into free agency. Someone signed CJ Miles. He's a good basketball player. They're like, some of the guys are getting signed right now. It's like, why are you wasting your money on these? Like, why is Langston...
Sheldon Mack?
Or like Langston Galloway. Why did Langston Galloway get signed on the first day of free agency and CJ Miles is still out there? Or like Dwayne Dedman. what is going on? Someone signed these players. Sarah, do you have any other winners for us?
You know, I want to make sure you guys are done with your winners, because I have one that kind of falls as a good transition from winners to 50-50.
Okay. I'll take Charlotte then, because I think there's one other one in my clear winner category. Charlotte got better because the rest of the East got worse, right? Like, Charlotte didn't make that many improvements. The Dwight Howard trade was great, I think. I don't think Dwight Howard is done. I don't think he's bad. Like, he's played well. He, you know, Schroeder is probably not the best point guard for him. But I think Kemba will be a much better pick and roll partner for him, and he will be much more willing to use him in pick and rolls. Dwight needs to just, like, embrace who he is at this point. Like, we, you know, the ship has sailed on you being a low post option. Just be be a pick and roll rim runner, offensive putbacks, run a transition. That's all you do, and that's cool. Like, you got your money.
We've been saying that for 7 years, though.
I know, but now he's old enough where I'm hoping, and, you know, he's moved, what, 3 cities in the last 3 or 4 years? Like,
yeah.
The writing's on the wall, Dwight. Just embrace who you are, and you can still be dominant. But also having Malik Monk follow them at 11. My God, like, what a perfect marriage of fit and talent, right? Like, they needed another source of offense aside from Kemba Walker. Like, Nick Batum is a great all-around player. MKG, great defender. But you really needed, like, some additional scoring punch, and Marco Bellinelli wasn't doing it. Malik Monk is going to be a monster there. So I think Charlotte is pretty clearly a playoff team. That speaks to how bad the East is. But, you know, I think they made enough improvements to be firmly in that 6 seed mix.
Agreed.
So I'm going to guess there's one other team in the West. There we go.
Yeah, let's get Denver out of the way. Paul Millsap. Obviously, when you get a Paul Millsap, it doesn't matter where you are. You are a winner in the summer if you get a Paul Millsap. Mm-hmm. He's so damn good. Offensively, defensively, can play make, is a help on the boards, I should say. And they got him for 3 years, $90 million, but the third year is a team option, so essentially a 2+1 deal. That's amazing value. I am completely in love with that signing. Pairing him with Nikola Jokic, have Jamal Murray and Gary Harris on the wings. I mean, they don't even have to play Emmanuel Mudiay, like you alluded to in the last episode. You can play Jamal Murray as a pseudo point guard, and then you can have Jokic and Millsap handle much of the offense. Like, I am digging this. If Denver somehow sheds Kenneth Faried over the part of the summer, I'm bumping them up a notch again.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. I'm shocked you have them as a winner, even though they traded away your boy Donovan Mitchell.
I know. That was like one thing where I'm sitting there going, oh, you would have been so great. But they had so many shooting guards.
Yeah. Utah needed something good to happen to them after Hayward left. So
I'm so close to actually putting Utah in our 50-50 category just because they got Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Sarah, who is your transition team?
It would be the Clippers. You have them at 50-50, which I think is well placed. But I feel like they kind of started out losers, and then since then I feel like they've done a good job of rebounding from losing Chris Paul, or trading Chris Paul. They got back, as you noted, Beverly, Decker, Lou Will, Harrell. I know we talked about the last podcast that I was on, we're worried about their shooting. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, you know, obviously they don't have a guy like J.J. Redick who's, teams' defenses have to be on watching him constantly. They don't have that anymore, that kind of threat. But, you know, Lou can shoot. Beverly can shoot it a little bit. Gallinari has been a decent three-point shooter that they picked up. Teodosic, it's funny. Teodosic and Beverly, again, are like polar opposites of each other. But I feel like if you could put them together in one body, you'd have like the greatest point guard of all time. But so I think that's a good balance, though, that they have there. I'm excited. They still have the guys rolling to the rim who can cause all kinds of problems. DJ Montrez, Blake can kind of survey the floor. So it's rounding out. I like what they've done to kind of bounce back from the CP3 thing.
Yeah, they got insane value for a guy who was going to walk in free agency in 5 days, right? So if nothing else, that was a great play. Yeah, the Gallo signing, as long we Mort, you and I talked about it on Thursday, like as long as they stay healthy, you know, that it's not, after CP3 left, it felt like, all right, Clippers are out of the playoff conversation. And now it's like, well, they could be there.
Maybe.
There are 12 teams in the playoff conversation and only 8 spots, so that sucks. But, like, they'd be a clear playoff team in the East, I would say.
Oh, absolutely. But that's the East. Like, I alone could be a playoff team in the East right now. Right. It's so bad.
Yeah. I agree with that. There was, I will say, Kevin Ding of Bleacher Report had a column yesterday that came out about the post CP3 Clippers, and it had some pretty damning comments from team sources, league executives about Doc's mettle as a GM, which is not a surprise, but also Blake as a leader, like as the face of the franchise. They basically aren't sure if he like wants that role or if he's just kind of content to cruise along and do what he's doing and not really push himself. So I'm actually pretty interested to see what Blake looks like without CP3. Because I think, you know, I mentioned this on previous episodes, but Jonathan Charks of The Ringer had a really good article prior to free agency where he's like, I don't care where Blake signs, but whoever signs him needs to use him as a point guard. So we'll see. You know, Beverly is used to that off ball with Harden, so maybe they do run more offense through Blake and take advantage of his passing ability. And I if nothing else, the Clippers will still be fun. You know, that's hard to say after you lose, 10-time All-Star like Chris Paul, but they'll still be an enjoyable watch. So I like.
Still, were they fun though? Were they really that fun?
Back in the early part of Doug in Lob City.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah. Like in the over the last 3 years, did you actively tune in on League Pass whenever they played? Like, did you single them out on the calendar? Because I sure as hell didn't.
That's a fair point.
I went to a Bulls Clippers game, I think. Either last year or 2 years ago. I think it was last year, and it was just like one of the most depressing basketball games I've ever watched. Both teams were just so crappy. It was just like, it was not fun at all. The only reason I enjoyed it, except I was in club seats. But yeah, I'm excited to see the Clippers maybe be fun again. Good point, Mort.
Yeah.
And Teodosic alone is going to be worth tuning in for.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good signing, and it pissed Lakers fans off, so I like it twice as much.
And it confused Clippers fans, because when it was reported, I was on Twitter, I don't remember who reported it first, but there were a whole bunch of Clippers fans, you know, commented on Twitter, and was like, who? Who is that? Oh my god, the Clippers signed a nobody! I was like, you have no idea, y'all.
Yeah, right.
No idea.
Right. All right, we talked about Toronto in the last episode, but I'll call them a 50-50. You know, I'm okay with them retaining Serge and Kyle Lowry, especially at the price they did. 3 years, 65 for Serge, 3 years, 100 for Lowry. Losing Patrick Patterson and PJ Tucker was inevitable if they brought those guys back, because they just aren't going to spend $50 million above whatever. It was like $200 million in terms of roster cost plus taxes. They weren't going to do that for a team that got swept out of the second round. My boy OG, I think he could be the steal of the draft. I think it was 23? So, yeah. You know, he'll be a good replacement for a PJ Tucker, assuming he comes back from his ACL tear. We talked about it last time, though. The only thing I don't want to see them do is just run it back with the same starting five. So I want to see some creativity from them. Whether that's starting Serge at the five, moving Norman Powell into the starting lineup. You mentioned Corey Joseph maybe starting alongside Kyle Lowry. There was talk yesterday on Twitter that DeMar DeRozan's going to start shooting three-pointers, which would actually change their outlook significantly. So,
well, shooting them is one thing.
Yeah, hitting them.
Making them is another.
But he just doesn't even shoot them.
Yeah.
Right? Like, how many did he hit?
No.
He averaged, let's see. The average, like,
less than an attempt per game, I think.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So, like, that would change everything if he actually started. Oh, my God. 1.7 attempts per game, 0.4 three-point makes per game.
Wow. He attempted two? That completely went over my head.
He hit 33 threes on the year, and he shot 26% from deep. 26.6%. Yeah. So, yeah, if he starts shooting threes and hitting threes, that's going to change a lot. I mean, yeah, he had the most points on two-pointers as anyone in the league over the last 2 years. So swap some of those looks out, and who knows? This Raptors team could actually put up a fight against Boston, Washington, Cleveland. But we talked about it again. You know, we don't know what's happening with Cleveland after next year, so I don't blame the Raptors for running it back and keeping this core together. Mort, another 50-50 team.
Oh, Miami is one for me because, look, I like what they did. They retained their core. They got Deion Waiters back. They got James Johnson back. It was sort of good deals. It's just I'm not sure whether those guys are four-year players when it comes to, you know, the contract length.
Right.
I'm not sure that that's the area you should have been looking for. Mm-hmm. Deion had one good year, and even that good year was more like was more an emotional highlight year than it was like a production-wise solid year. He still wasn't an effective scorer. He still had a lot of lapses defensively. He's not really a ball handler. I mean, the same issues he had coming into the league are still right there right now, like 6 years later, or how many more years it has been. But so I'm not sure he's a guy that you necessarily build around. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, look, they wanted to keep those two, and they added Kelly Olynyk for, what, $450?
Yep.
4 years, yeah, $50 million. That was an overpayment in my eyes because he does nothing but shoot. Might as well go after Mike Muscala instead, who would have come a lot cheaper. So I feel as though they just blew their whole wad on just so-so deals and so-so players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but they're not bad enough to like miss out on the playoffs in the East. So that's why they're in the 50-50 ball, because they're not losers. I mean,
right.
These are still good players. It's just, it's nothing overwhelming, you know?
Yeah, they pivoted well after missing out on Hayward, because they, you know, that was obviously plan A. So bringing the band back together, you know, I agree. I think they're a playoff team. I think they're, I would put them, I feel like Detroit and the Sixers are going to be battling for the eighth seed. I feel like Miami's in that tier with Charlotte, where they'll like be somewhere 6th, 7th seed range, you know, barring injury, which is going to screw something up for some team. But yeah.
Thankfully, resale value, though. Like, we need to talk about resale value. That's there. Mm-hmm. I mean, they can flip these guys.
Yeah, James Johnson, maybe not. 4 years, $60 million on
him.
And I agree with you. I think that's the thing that's giving me pause about them is the length of the contract. You know, we learned last summer, it's not the price, it's the length of the contract that comes back to bite you. You know, if we had Joakim Noah on a 2-year, $40 million deal, we'd make fun of the Knicks, but he'd be coming off the books this year, or after this year. Mm. But the fact is, he's still on the books for 3 more years. That's where it comes to bite you. So, you know, James Johnson was a beast last year. He had a great year. He was, you know, arguably could have won Sixth Man of the Year. If he regresses back to his previous career mean and you have him for $15 million a year for the next 4 years, that's not as great. So basically, like, Miami retained their core. They're going to be a solid playoff team, but it feels like they don't have the ceiling of a team that is, like, capped out. Because they are, I mean, they're totally capped out. They're, you know, they're for the foreseeable future. Like, they can't really make any big splashes in free agency next summer. So,
But at least the Knicks, as you talked about, they did not sign anyone to a 4-year deal this summer. Wait a minute.
Yeah. Well,
wait a minute. They did.
We'll get
and
to the
it
Knicks.
Was another.
Yeah.
Well, it's another bad one.
We're saving them for the loser section. Sarah, who's another 50-50 team?
The Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah.
First of all, I have to say rest in peace to Grit and Grind.
Oh, I know.
So it was a really special era of basketball there. It's sort of similar to last summer for the Spurs losing Timmy. Not that I'm comparing the players, or, you know, obviously the length of the time was not as long either, but it does signify, you know, the end of an era there. That now they still have some remnants of, but they got to start moving into the future in a different direction. But I like you know, the signings that they've had since then, and they've been good deals. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you guys yeah. know I'm not a guru on that stuff, but it's been cheap. It, you know, it's not high risk. You get Ben McLemore, Tyreek Evans. I think, you know, that's as well as you can do trying to come back from losing Zeebo and Vince Carter. But by the way, my love for Vince Carter knows no bounds. And it's like, yeah. it's only grown as he's been in the league for longer. Like, the older he gets, the more I love him. Because
yeah.
he was one of those guys that you might have thought, well, he just relies on his athleticism. But clearly he no. doesn't, because he's been able to last. And, you know, you can't do that if you're just all about athleticism. He knows the game so well, and he's become one of those wily vets. I've lusted after him as a backup for Kawhi for, like, I don't know, 5 years now. So
yeah,
so sad to see him go, but Sacramento gets a good guy, good vet for the locker room too. So I guess yeah. it works out.
I don't remember. I think it was the SB Nation Twitter accounts of the Kings. They basically, like, tweeted the other day at the SB Nation account for the Grizzlies, and they're like, mm-hmm. thanks for switching teams with us this year. We really appreciate it.
Right.
But, yeah, I was actually at a bluegrass festival here last night with some of my wife's fellow residents, and one of them is from Memphis. So she leans over to me at one point and says, my heart broke this week because Zach Randolph. And I'm like, oh yeah, and Vince Carter too. And she's like, wait, what? Vince Carter no. left? What happened?
Oh, no.
So I'm pretty sure I ruined her night. But yeah, I agree. I agree with you, Sarah. Those, you know, Tyreek Evans played college ball at Memphis, so they love him there. Ben McLemore, again, yeah, cheap value. If he hits, you know, maybe. You just never know with Kings prospects, right? Like, right. you don't know if they're busts or they just got Kings.
You got to see what happens when they get out of basketball hell. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah, I like what they did considering their cap constraints. We still know what's going on with Jamichael Green, but
right.
the restricted free agent market has not been kind. So, it feels like they might be able to get him back at a cheaper price than they were hoping. I mean, his agent basically made it sound like he's not coming back, but we'll have to see.
Yeah, I was just looking that up, trying to figure it out, and yeah, yeah. it seemed like there was a chance he could come back, but then, yeah, I saw rumors that he's reportedly unhappy with how things have gone, so.
Right. Well, yeah, he
welcome, Brooklyn.
Welcome. Yeah, I mean, well, Brooklyn, I mean, it sounds like the Otto Porter thing's going to get matched. Washington has until 11:59 Saturday, but then they can draw it out, actually. They could take two more days to do its physical and then two more days for something else. They can really dick around with the Nets, which is great. Like, I am all here for the petty GM wars because it sounds like people are really pissed at Sean Marks for wielding his cap space as he does with restricted free agents. Who else is a 50-50? We talked about Utah earlier. I'm going Utah. Like, yeah, it sucks that they lost Gordon Hayward, obviously. That's a blow you're not going to recover from overnight. But
and George Hill.
And George Hill. But they replaced George Hill with Ricky Rubio, who they stole for, what, like a lottery-protected OKC pick, which immediately got worse, like, hours after they made that trade, because OKC then traded for Paul George yeah. and made a bunch of smart yep. signings, and now they seem like it'll be in the 20s, probably. So,
yeah,
love the Ricky Rubio trade. Your boy, Donovan Mitchell. Take the boy. Tell us why Donovan Mitchell is your Rookie of the Year pick.
Wow, do I have... I have to go through it again? Okay, fine. You know, I don't mind, honestly. Look, he might be 6'3", but he's got a 6'10 wingspan. He's superbly athletic, strong defender. He improved his shooting and volume from his freshman to sophomore season at Louisville. He's extremely poised out on the floor. He's intelligent. His body is built and NBA ready. He just seems like one of those guys who his floor is incredibly high and his ceiling is additionally high. It's not like he has a low ceiling. So when you have a high floor and also a high ceiling, that takes you somewhere good.
Mm-hmm.
It remains to be seen whether he's going to break out in the first year or not. I think he can because you now are left with primarily passers and not a whole lot of scorers in Utah.
Mm.
Like, you have Ricky Rubio, who's a playmaker. Then you have Rudy Gobert, who's a defender, rebounder, opportunity scorer. He's not a guy who's going to go out and get you 20. So who's left? Rodney Hood, Alec Burks. Yeah, I guess, and they could put up numbers, but I'm looking at Mitchell because he is so poised and he's so athletic. He's going to get minutes based on his defense as well. I have him as my early Rookie of the Year candidate just because of the opportunity that he's going to get. Not saying he's going to be like the best rookie mm-hmm. Markelle Fultz is, as far as I'm concerned, but given the opportunity and given that Fultz is playing with a whole bunch of guys
yeah.
who are going to need the ball and score the ball, the stat line is going to play out for Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah. Wait, you're not jumping ship on Markelle Fultz after two games of Summer League like I've seen a lot of other people on Twitter doing? I don't understand.
Oh, no, no. I decided not to be stupid.
Oh, so. Good. Congrats. Yeah, that was fun. Yeah. Sixers Twitter is very on edge right now because I've seen some really terrible takes about, like, oh, well, Markelle Fultz is now third on my board. Jason Tatum's going to be a superstar. Like, fucking Summer League.
Be honest now. Sixers Twitter is always on yeah. edge about something. Like, have we ever had an episode where you have not uttered the words, well, Sixers Twitter is on edge? Like, it doesn't matter. It's just always something.
Yeah.
I imagine them all, like, with knives in their teeth, just ready to strike at any minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think they had that when they did the retweet on the game. Yeah. Sure they did. Probably had, you know, painted yeah. their faces. And, yeah. yeah.
Right. The battle cry was out. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd be lying if I said, I mean, the guys who I run NBA assets with, we had a spreadsheet that we've been working on for years just with, like, all the bad hinky takes that we saw. Like, we were preparing for Retweet Armageddon before it even became a thing. So, we knew at one day.
It's so petty that I'm impressed.
Yeah. Dude, if you see enough takes that are that bad about your team, you're just going to immediately be like, well, we got to save this for posterity. All takes exposed needs to see these one day. All right, I forget. Okay, yeah, so Utah, the only thing, Joe Inglis, that contract would have looked better if Hayward resigned. It's fine,
yeah.
but it's not great. And but whatever. That's why they're 50-50, right? Rubio and Mitchell plus, Inglis, meh, losing Hayward, that sucks. So boy, another 50-50 team.
Pelicans,
yes.
Because, you know, they did what they set out to do, which was get Drew Holiday back at a pretty steep cost, but, you know, so be it. That was really the only thing they had going for him, and they got it done. But that's about it. Like, they really need to do something, because they are, outside of Davis, Cousins, and Holiday, which admittedly, at least theoretically, is a good trio, they don't have a whole lot. They have to, like, pray for a comeback season for the ages from Etuan Moore.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to hope that Solomon Hill somehow, you know, rediscovers what it is to actually play basketball, I suppose.
Okay.
Because it's they really have an empty roster on so many levels.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you guys see them? I can't really... I have them outside the playoffs looking mm-hmm. in with their, like...
Yeah.
If they reach their potential, they're at best is like a seventh or eighth team, you know, or seed.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't be surprised at all if they ended outside the playoffs.
Yeah, Sarah, you're the Western Conference expert. Where do you see them?
I don't see them getting in at the moment. Might change, yeah. But yeah, no, I would see them ninth or tenth. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's no fault of their own. It's just they were capped out. And mm-hmm. a lot of other Western teams got better. OKC's a lot better. Minnesota's a lot better. Denver's a lot better, as we all mentioned. Portland played really well when they got Nurkic. So with a full season of him, they will be better. It's like, it sucks for the Pelicans. But, yeah, I think that's a fair 50-50 team because they had to retain Drew. They just didn't have the money to... If he left, they didn't have the money to get a better point guard. But, you know, the Boogie countdown clock is already on because he's a free agent in 2018, and now you're already hearing about teams trying to pry Anthony Davis away. So if Boogie leaves in 2018, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens to that team. Sarah, do you have any more 50-50s for us?
I sure do, Brian. The Spurs.
Yeah.
You bastards trying to stick my Spurs in the losers. It's not going to happen. Obviously, we're still waiting to see what happens with Simmons, what happens with Deadman. Hanga, I thought was a lock to come over, or at least likely that he was going to come over. Now it definitely seems like it's more of a wait and see, especially with the Rudy Gay signing. He's probably waiting to see maybe if Manu comes back or not. So there again, we're also still waiting on Morton. We are still waiting. There's no certainty. But I like the Rudy Gay signing. Literally was having dinner with my grandma, so I felt very removed. I was like in a retirement village, and you know how that is. You feel very far away from the whole conversation. So it was a surprise, and I didn't even think about it that night. But I like it. There again, I think it's a pretty good deal. Obviously he is coming off injury, but if he can even get close to form, he can be a good addition for them. Another guy who can get his own shot, another guy who can defend a little bit, good length. So, hey, I'm happy. He's got to be happy he doesn't have to play against Kawhi anymore. So,
yeah.
Although I think he sometimes enjoyed it, but Kawhi usually got the better of it. But, yeah, I like that signing. I like bringing Patty back. I love that Powell opted out to try to help the team's flexibility. I really like Derek White so far. Haven't seen that much of him yet. Just a few games in summer league, but I think he's got some good potential. Of course, knowing the Spurs, you know, we maybe don't see him at all next year, or very limited and back and forth with Austin. But I like him as a future.
He's 23
guy.
Though.
Yeah, so maybe he's polished in that he doesn't seem to get harried or hurried ever. You know, like.
Yeah.
A lot of times people run at him and he does the fake and the dribble. Like, he's very calm about it. He knows what he's doing. So, yeah, I mean, he could see some time on the floor. I hope so.
I mean, they also have to, you know, he's going to get minutes as far as I'm concerned, because they have to figure out who's going to take Manu's minutes when he retires.
Oh, my God. Every time. Every time.
I don't know how much cap space they have right now, but if they have enough, I feel like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is the guy they should go after.
I don't.
Oh, they should just. It doesn't matter if it's a minimum deal. Pop should just contact him. Like, do you want to be great?
Right.
Do you honestly want to be great? Then you come here for like a small deal, and I will work my ass off to make you one of the best two-way players at the guard position in the entire NBA. That whole herky-jerky, 1 year I'm good from three, 1 year I'm not, all that goes away if you come here, kiddo.
Here, yeah. Meet Chip England. Yeah.
Right, yeah, exactly.
But
yeah,
I feel like exactly. He'd be insulted. That would be, like, Pop's greatest voodoo magic ever, because he wants all of the money. So, yeah, I don't see that happening. But.
Right. Well, there was talk, you know, I think it's fair, Sarah, to put them as a 50-50, because I also like the Rudy signing. I like what they did in the draft. You know, they always get their token, like, oh, why did this guy fall so far to the Spurs?
Okay.
But it did seem like they had something bigger in the cards when Powell opted out, when David Lee opted out, and I don't think it was just Rudy Gay. It seemed like it might have been Chris Paul.
I don't think that was the plan, but.
Right. So they pivoted well, but it did seem like whatever plan A was, presumably Chris Paul, the Rockets jumped in front of them and kind of screwed them up with that. So it's like, it's hard to call this a clear winning offseason for them, right. But, you know, they're still, Pop could trot out the 2014-15 Sixers and probably win 50 games, so it doesn't matter, as long as Kawhi stays healthy.
Is it time for the token Spurs fan chant of the summer? They were up 20 on the Warriors!
Yeah.
In game one, damn it! Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, but Zaza just got re-signed, so Kawhi
needs
to watch his ankles.
It's the worst thing that has happened all summer.
All right, who else is a 50? So I've got two that are, like, borderline 50-50 and losers. Do we want to go there, or more? Do you have any other?
Yeah, hit us.
Okay. So one, I'm going to say the Lakers, because, look, they didn't spend any money in free agency so far. They sold D'Angelo Russell for Brooke Lopez just to get off of the Mozgov contract. And Lopez is a good player. He's going to make them better next year. He has an expiring contract, though. So they've made it clear that they plan on being very active in free agency next year. They're going to carve out two max contract spots, one for Paul George, one for Russell Westbrook, LeBron James. We don't know. if they don't hit big next year at free agency, like if Paul George doesn't go there and they don't get a second star, they just gave D'Angelo Russell away for nothing. Or like the right to overpay Brook Lopez. So it's hard to call them a loser because we just don't know what's going to happen. And like, you know, maybe this does all work out, but they're on the brink of like, they need to hit a grand slam home run next summer, or this summer is going to look very bad in exchange. Because now, you know, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's on the market, and there's talk of him wanting to go to the Lakers, but the Lakers only want to offer him a one-year deal. Like, if they miss out on signing him because they want to preserve cap space, and then they don't get a guy next year, it gets dicey. So, Mort, do you agree with me on the Lakers?
Oh, yeah, I was not a big fan of the Russell trade, even though that they got Brook Lopez back, who I agree with you is a good player. But they seem to be all in on the cap space route, and the cap space route is always tricky because there are no guarantees.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a guy who's willing to sign, like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, even though I am not as high on him as a lot of people are,
mm-hmm.
you probably got to do it. And at least you can flip him because he will still be young. So if you signed him now, you could flip him next season, probably to a team that would be willing to take him if they're under the cap.
Mm-hmm.
So you can always make moves later on. The idea of beginning to build something, you know, a year from now and saying, oh, we have to do this now so we can be ready for this 12 months from now, is the idea I understand, but you have to at least remains on some level competitive meanwhile, because if you're, especially if you're going the cap space route, because you don't want to look like a loser when your free agent guy comes to a meeting. Like, if you're a team, hey, Paul George, we just won 17 games last season, right. So come join us. Right. That's not a good look.
Yeah.
So at the very least, look for deals that will make you competitive in the short term and make them flippable.
Mm-hmm.
Simply make sure the resale value is through the roof. Those deals are out there. They are to be found. So, yeah, I'm with you. That's a 50-50 team so far in free agency. Now, if they're going to get Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and if they get him cheaply, then I could see them as a winner, but that would just still be a on the low end of the winning scale because they still gave up D'Angelo Russell when his value was low, and you never, never sell low.
Yeah, it sounds, there's got to be more of the Russell story than we don't know. It just sounds like they were out on him, personality-wise.
If it's the whole Nick Young situation, it's just so wrong to
yeah.
me. Because, I mean, look, Nick was the one who did something wrong. Okay, we're going into ethicals again, but still, I mean, what was, you know, Russell was what, 20 when he did it? 19,
yeah,
20
19,
when
I think.
He, Jesus Christ, I mean, look, he's so young. Do you give up on a kid because he's a kid? Like,
yeah.
Oh, he's immature. We got to trade him. Well, name me someone in that age who isn't immature.
Right.
Give me a break.
Yeah.
I mean,
I wish the Sixers did that with Jahlil Okafor, who got in like a street fight and got caught speeding, going 100 miles an hour on the Ben Franklin Bridge as a rookie. That'd be nice. The other 50-50 slash loser. I'm really just leading a loser here, though, but I think this might be controversial, is Detroit. So, yeah, they got, you know, flipped Marcus Morris for Avery Bradley in a second-round pick, which is great. But that, like, letting KCP walk for nothing, I know he's asking a lot of money, but, like, you just don't let the talented former lottery picks walk for nothing. Like, either make him get an offer in restricted free agency or make him take the qualifying offer. But, like, just don't rescind his qualifying offer. Like, especially because they had to do it because they signed Langston Galloway to a 3-year, $21 million deal at first deal
yeah.
free agency. Last year they spent, you know, I love Boban, but they spent a lot of money on Boban. They spent a lot of money on John Lewis. Like, look at their depth chart, and they're not a good team. So for them to be hard-capped and, like, pushing up against that is very alarming. So
yeah.
The KCP thing is bad. They took, you know, we're going back to Donovan Mitchell, but they took Luke Kennard over Donovan Mitchell, which already looks like a mistake. So, yeah, the Morris-Bradley thing is, that's a good play, and that's why I'm not putting them firmly in the loser. Like, they're kind of on that borderline, but I don't know. It just really, the whole handling of the KCP thing, I would not be excited about that if I was a Pistons fan. And that's what I alluded to earlier when we were talking about the Sixers and the Amir Johnson thing. Like, that's the one opportunity cost that the Sixers missed out on by signing Amir so early. Had they saved, you know, I don't think Amir Johnson's getting a one-year $11 million offer from anyone. So if you wait a week, now KCP's on the market. He's a good young player who would fit well with your core that you can't really afford, because otherwise you can't renegotiate and extend Robert Covington. So that said, I think, you know, once Washington matches the offer sheet,
Porter.
Yeah, I think Brooklyn should go hard after KCP. If Atlanta lets Tim Hardaway Jr. walk, they should go hard after KCP. Like, I mean, the Bulls, I know they have basically their only position of strength right now is point guard and shooting guard, but that, it, just any team with that's not it lacks young talent should be going hard after this kid.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. The thing with Detroit, though, there's more to it. I feel it's more of a, when is there going to be a big splash?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they, it seems like for so many years they've just been like going through the motions.
Mm-hmm.
They got Drummond, who turned out to be good. Remember when Drummond was drafted, there was like a lot of buzz, like, oh, he might be a huge bust.
Right.
Like, he might not even be good at all.
Yeah, questions about then, his motor were the big ones.
Right. And then right off the bat, he actually proved to be good.
Yeah.
And it seemed like at that point in time, there was like a change in mindset, because then it was, oh, now we know we have a guy, we need to build around him, we need to develop him correctly, we need to like build the roster around him properly.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't seem like they've ever tried that. Now we know, so it's kind of positive that they didn't. Now we know that Drummond is good, but he isn't as good as we thought, because he kind of, you know, he stagnated a little bit.
Yeah.
And he didn't become as great a defender as everyone thought he'd be. But still, like, the roster they have right now is just so average. Like, Tobias Harris, I love the deal.
Mm-hmm.
At the time. It was a, you know, it was a good trade. It was a good value. But he still has not stepped up and become this, you know, scoring, you know, high scoring slash high rebounding forward. You didn't get a whole bunch from Reggie Jackson either. It's just so, it's constantly disappointment in Detroit. Like, or, you know, when you sign Josh Smith as well. That's just not clever at any
point. And then you waive him and you're paying him $5 million a year through 2020.
That is arguably even stupider.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's more to it with Detroit. It's not just what they've done this season. It's just a whole thing of their last five seasons or five summers have just been meh.
It's almost like you shouldn't let your coach be your team president as well.
Oh. Yeah.
Who knew?
You're going there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was talking about this on Twitter with someone yesterday, too. Carter Rodriguez of Fear the Sword. And it was like, this is a perfect segue to the Pacers. So Kevin Pritchard was saying, yeah, we could have gotten more for Paul George at the trade deadline, but we were trying to make the playoffs. And it's like, oh, no. Why are you valuing a playoff spot over getting a return for the guy who's already told you?
Oh, he pulled a Lottie.
Yeah. Like, the guy told you he's going to leave at the trade deadline at 16 months. So at that point, you should be trying to sell on him immediately, where teams are still competitive, still pushing for a playoff spot. And it goes back to ownership, right? So I think Herb Simon, the owner of the Pacers, I think he's in his 80s. And then it made me think, like, who are all of the teams that are, like, poorly run and that make these win-now moves every year? And it's, like, New Orleans, Chicago, Detroit, Orlando. And, well, Detroit, I think their owner is actually not that old. But the other four, all of their owners are in their 70s or their 80s. So, like, I'm starting to think if you have an owner in your 80s or even late 70s, you're kind of just screwed, because the owner wants to win now. They don't have the patience for a 5-year rebuild. You know, I feel bad for Indiana for, you know, having a owner in place that's pushing his GM to think that way. But like, Indiana, you shouldn't be thinking about the playoffs. Like, it doesn't matter. You're a bad team. You're not going anywhere. Paul George is going to leave in a year. So trade him while you can. Get good value for him. Like, if that Boston offer was real, where they were willing to include that Nets pick, that the 2017 Nets pick, which was clearly at that point, like, there is no way the Nets weren't going to have the worst record in the league. So at worst, that is a top four pick. And then they allegedly also would have included three other first round picks. Take that offer. Like, why are you going for the playoffs right now? And now, apparently during the intro press conference of Oladipo and Sabonis, they pulled a guard pack, Mort. They said, they said, like, a reporter asked them, why didn't you get any draft picks in return for Paul George? And they're like, well, Victor Oladipo and Sabonis were draft picks. Or, like, our draft picks.
Our lottery picks.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, Oladipo's 4 years into his career. Like, he's
25, he's earning $20 million a year.
Right.
If he's a draft pick, he's an incredibly old and incredibly expensive draft pick. It was an incredibly stupid comment by Pritchard, just as it was a stupid comment from Garpax. And it's so weird that, you know, I, as a basketball fan, I feel disrespected when management teams come out and say stuff like that.
Yeah.
I feel Pritchard spoke down to the intelligence of the Pacers fans, just as Garpax is a world champion in speaking down to the intelligence of Bulls fans.
Right.
It is simply inexcusable when you use terms like that, because everyone with half a brain can see through you.
Yeah.
It's just, it's disgusting. And I we could make fun of it, but I'm deadly serious right now, because I just think that is... that is where the NBA still has a long way to go in terms of how organizations communicate to fans. I see so many poorly worded press conferences where it's almost like it's a politician sitting there and not a sports manager. Sports manager. And it's embarrassing. Don't play the political game. Just say we got what we felt was good value instead, and then talk about his strengths, like Oladipo's strengths and weaknesses. Don't try to paint it as something it isn't. That's just, it's insincere and doesn't help you promote anything with the fans. And while I was talking, it's come out that New York or Atlanta will not match the offer sheet for Tim Hardaway Jr. And that is perfect, because, Brian, you just mentioned something that I wanted to segue myself into. You were talking about poor ownership.
Yes.
Now we have an example, again, of poor ownership, because James Dolan had to sign off on this offer sheet. So, guys, I think the three of us, we've spoken about, I'm not sure we ever recorded, but the three of us have spoken about how it's kind of great that NBA teams aren't firing coaches to the same extent that they used to, that they're now getting a chance to, like, get their reps in and stay for a whole year, if not more.
Right.
And that was the first step. Like, if you're capped out, like, then you can't upgrade your roster, but then you can spend money on a great coach. Then you can spend money on a great general manager. So you can actually optimize the certain infrastructure levels of an organization. But here's my biggest problem and my biggest concern. You can't upgrade ownership.
Right.
That is the last domino to fall if the NBA is going to enter into this best league of all time conversation. And honestly, they're on their way, because the NBA right now is fantastic, both in terms of income, popularity, fan interest, whatever. If they somehow get bad owners out of their jobs and insert right owners who are passionate about the game, who understands the game, like Mark Cuban, for example, the league will be better off. So when you have guys like James Dolan, who right now, based on this offer sheet with Tim Hardaway, is in the process of screwing your franchise over, or you have a, like, you know, Herbert, who is, like, what, 79, 81, who wants to win even though his roster was shit, that's not helping anybody.
Right.
Anybody. Like, Jerry Reinsdorf, he's afraid. Like, he is extremely afraid of rebuilding because of what happened in 1999, 18 fucking years ago.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. So the last place where you can upgrade something is in ownership, and that is because that is obviously extremely difficult, because owning something means actually owning something, and you can't just give that up. But it's food for thought.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, the Donald Sterling thing was a one-off outlier, I feel like, where
Yeah.
You know, he got removed for reasons aside from basketball mismanagement, even though he should have been removed from basketball mismanagement 15 years prior. But yeah, it would be really great for Knicks fans if they could get rid of James Dolan, because, you know, it was funny, like, when Phil Jackson got fired, all Knicks fans were like, hooray, like, we're gonna be a real team again. It's like, well, look who's your owner. Like,
yeah.
His problems did not start with Phil Jackson.
Yeah.
He created his own problems. You know, he like single-handedly ruined Carmelo Anthony, and now, you know, he's trying to force the Kristaps Porzingis to hate the franchise forever. But, like, there were problems with the Knicks long before Phil Jackson. And this Tim Hardaway Jr.
Someone hired Phil
right,
Jackson.
Right. So this Tim Hardaway Jr. offer sheet. Well, my God, I can't believe. Of course Atlanta's not going to match it. It was terrible. It was, like, structured the same way as Otto Porter's, but Otto Porter deserves the money he's getting. Tim Hardaway Jr. played well last year for Atlanta, but Zach Lowe reported they were going to offer somewhere in the neighborhood of, like, 4 years, $48 million. So New York just overpaid him by $23 million.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's spectacular. One point on Indy too, quickly, is I mentioned this earlier where, and you did too, Mort, where it was like, you know, you wanted Boston to get, like, Boston improved, but they could have improved more. Mm. I don't know if it's their fault, because I feel like Indiana just blew its load too early on the Paul George trade, and had you waited until Gordon Hayward signed with Boston, Boston now has that much more incentive to trade for Paul George. So
yeah. You've been banging that drum for a while. I agree with you. Yeah.
I just,
like, you could have forced them into a bad situation.
Right, because they have to salary dump one of Bradley, Smart, or Crowder anyway. So you can kill two birds with one stone. You can get Crowder back. Mm-hmm. You can get Smart back, maybe. You can get, like, at that point, would Boston be willing to give up the Lakers-Kings pick that it got from Philly and the Markelle Fultz deal? You know, if they think, like, yeah, Paul George is the missing piece that's going to push us over the top, maybe. Maybe they would. I feel like the offer only would have been better from Boston at that point. So that's another place where I just feel like Indiana really screwed up. And now, you know, this Darren Collison, Bojan Bogdanovic, they're fine. They're, like, not awful contracts, but it's just, like, you should really be embracing the tank. Like, right now, Indiana's, on paper, is not as awful as it should be. Like, they could probably be, like, the 10 seed in the East. So, like, you're now robbing your chance of getting a primo draft pick after losing Paul George, and it's, I'm so sorry, Indiana fans and New York fans. It just, that sucks.
Being 10th in the East means that you could still theoretically be 5th worst in the league.
Yeah, 6th worst, but yes.
Yeah, well, the Western Conference are so strong, like, theoretically every team could just beat the hell out of.
That is true. That is true.
Yeah.
Sarah, who do you have another loser for us?
Well, first of all, that was an epic rant, Morton. I feel like we should have had some, like, applause, ovation, sound effects here. Yeah. But, and as you guys have been talking about Indiana, though, it's like Mark said a few weeks ago and Morton reiterated, it just seems to point to the fact that some teams don't value draft picks,
mm-hmm.
which is weird, but true, so... But they still should have held out regardless, because they could have, like you said, Brian, gotten more players from Boston at the very least if you don't want draft picks. But anyway, yeah, another loser, obviously, Chicago. And you guys already already talked about the Jimmy trade, so I won't rehash that. I'm still mad about Jordan Bell. There again, it was a guy that I was looking at thinking, that's a guy who could potentially help teams try to get closer to defending the Warriors, competing with the Warriors, so... By all means, let's sell him to the Warriors. Sounds like a great idea. You know, he's a guy that... Basically, you could have replaced Taj Gibson with a younger version on the cheap. He's a ball hawk. He's a rebounder. He can block shots. He's excited about defense. Probably not... I'm sure Morton probably takes issue. He's not Taj Gibson.
I agree with you entirely.
There you go. Like,
perfect.
He would have looked good in a Bulls uniform, is the point, and they just got rid of him. So it's crazy.
Yeah. Mort, you've ranted.
There's really nothing to add.
Yeah, I feel like you've spilled your rage about Jordan Bell already. So yeah, I think Sarah, you summed it up perfectly. The Bulls. I mean, so Ian Levy, who we had a couple weeks ago, who runs the Step Back for Fansided, sent a tweet the other day, and it was like, which core would you rather build around? Oladipo's Sabonis, the return for what they got for Jimmy Butler, and then who was the other one? I don't even remember the third one. Oh, what they got, what the Clippers got for Chris Paul.
Oh, Paul.
Yeah. And it's like, when you frame it like that, I probably would take Dunn, Levine, and Markkanen over those other two, just because, like, the mystery box factor, basically. Like, we don't know. Markkanen could be good. Dunn, maybe he was, maybe just Tibbs was a bad fit for him, and maybe he'll thrive in Hoiball, and maybe Zach LaVine retains his athleticism after the ACL tear, so at least it's like, we don't know what we have in them, whereas, like, Oladipo, we have a pretty decent idea, and then the Clippers thing, it's like, all those guys are a little bit older. So, like, the Bulls, they could still back their way into being, having a good, fun, young core, but it just feels like they had a chance to get more, and again, it had, you know, had Chicago waited 2 weeks and Boston gets Gordon Hayward, is Chicago,
or had they just not included 16?
Right.
I mean, were Minnesota ever going to back away if they weren't getting the 16? Let's be honest. Right. Like, let's just imagine the conversation here. So, Tips, we want to send you Jimmy Butler, and you. I know you asked for 16th, but that's not going to happen. You know, Jimmy is an all NBA player, a top 10 player. Are you really going to, you know, say no to that just because you won 16? Yup.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that conversation going down? Because I sure as fuck cannot.
Yeah. I'm sure, and Tibbs just has so much experience with guard packs, he's probably like, I know I could rip these idiots off. So
yeah. Well, he knows that they don't value draft picks, obviously. Look, this is the same guy who also begged them to draft Draymond Green, and then they took Marcus Teague just because John Calipari got in Gar Foreman's ear.
Oh my god.
I mean, yeah.
Bulls.
So,
long live the Bulls.
No, well, actually, that was more of a compliment to Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah, right.
Because he understands, like, the value of what a kid can bring.
Right, a versatile defender.
I mean, hey, look, I mean, I'm sure that he would probably asking for 38th as well, so he could get Jordan Bell. Why not? I mean, wouldn't surprise me one damn bit.
Yeah.
So, Minnesota, man, I'm glad that we have them as a winner. They did so good.
Yeah.
So good. I'm so impressed at what they did.
Yeah.
Unbelievable somehow.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to take Cleveland as another clear loser. Jeff Green, you know, 1 year, $2.3 million. That's fine. Like, I was looking, he's like one of their only role players who, I mean, he's 30 right now, but he's like one of their youngest role players off the bench. Which,
that's so sad.
Right, which does not say glowing things about Cleveland. There's, you know, they signed Jose Calderon, who's just a corpse. Like, I don't understand the point, but whatever. I guess they needed another corpse to replace Deron Williams. But the thing that, like, nothing they did in terms of signings, they were capped out already. They couldn't really make massive roster improvements. There's talk that they might. Jamal Crawford wants to play for them if they give him their full mid-level exception, which they should not do under any circumstance, but they probably will because they love old guards who can only shoot and not play defense.
Right.
But, like, the Dave Griffin thing, it's just such a debacle. And, you know, that now there's a report that came out that they lowballed Chauncey Billups to replace him, who was, like, the guy that, you know, right when Griffin got fired, it immediately came out, we're targeting Chauncey Billups. He's the guy that Dan Gilbert wants. If you want him that much, I know he doesn't have experience, but, like, he's mentioned a lot with other jobs. He seems like he's going to be an up-and-comer. Just pay the man. Or, better yet, don't fire Dave Griffin if you don't have a replacement lined up already. What the hell are you doing? Dave Griffin's a really good GM. Like, he's turned something out of nothing for the last 3 years. So, oh my god, it's just, like, I really hope, like, LeBron, we could all agree, is going to leave next year, right?
Yep. Houston.
I don't care where he goes. He can go to the Spurs, he can go to Houston, he can go to the Sixers for all I care. All I want...
Oh, you'd care if you went to the Sixers.
Right. You like how I tried to slip that in? All I want, though, is his Players Tribune letter. I want him to write it in Comic Sans. That's all I want.
Yeah.
Why I'm leaving, and it's just a giant middle finger with Dan Gilbert's face on it. That's all I want. Because it's like, it's just spectacular that this guy, you know, LeBron James, he's got, like, one of the best players of all time, born near him, lucks into him at the 2003 draft, screws up building a roster around him the first time, he leaves, writes this ridiculous hate screed. He comes back 4 years later, wins your first championship ever, and now he's going to leave again because you're such an idiot that you mismanaged this franchise in 4 years. Like, how do you screw it up twice with LeBron? It's incredible.
Do you want to hear me make it worse?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so if Chauncey Billups decided he wasn't done playing,
oh my God,
and he signed on with a team for the minimum contract,
yeah,
that he would still be earning more than the proposed contract offer that Gilbert offered him.
You're right. Oh my God.
For being a general manager.
Oh my God. You're so right. Yeah. When someone turns you down for a GM job because they're playing in the big three, that's probably not a great sign.
Yeah.
Like, it's really, and like ESPN reportedly gave him a raise to help convince him to stay. Like, oh my God. I'm sorry, Cavs fans, because like, you guys are very loyal. My mom's family is from Cleveland. Growing up, you know, that side of the family is rooted for Cleveland forever. So, like, I know you guys are loyal fans and you don't deserve this, but, like, Dan Gilbert is such an asshole that I hope nothing but the worst happens to him. Like, I'm so excited for that Kyle Korver signing to look terrible when LeBron leaves. It's going to be great. And, like, I'm happy, frankly, that LeBron has convinced Dan Gilbert to, like, give all of his buddies a bunch of money. Like, 4 years, $57 million for J.R. Smith. Like, 5 years, $80 million for Tristan Thompson. That's great. Like, bleed that dude dry. So when he leaves, it's going to be even funnier. So that's Cleveland. I mean, they might be the biggest loser of the offseason. Well, Knicks, I guess. Always the Knicks. But Cleveland might be second biggest. But, Mort, do you have any other big losers?
Can I just pick the Pacers again?
Yes.
I think they deserve it. It's just so bad. Yeah. Just the whole direction. And oh, yeah, I'm not sure have we gone over every team?
We had a bunch in our to be determined.
Yeah.
Though.
And
that's right.
I would throw Atlanta in the loser pile as well. Just because Millsap for nothing sucks. I mean, I don't know if it's the right play. At 3 years, $90 million, I feel like you almost just bring him back and tread water a little more and try to flip him later. But, you know, they lost Al Horford for nothing last summer. If they were going to, it's like the same thing with the Pacers. Like, if you were going to let Millsap walk for nothing, trade him at the trade deadline. Like, don't let him walk for nothing. Get something in return for it. Like, you've lost the core of your 61 team from a few years ago, and you've gotten very little to show for it. But, you know, absorbing Jamal Crawford's contract for a first-round pick was okay. And on the bright side, they're going to suck a lot. They've embraced the tank, unlike Indiana. So they'll at least get... Yeah, I don't see a way that they don't get a top-five pick. They're going to be very bad next year.
Yeah. Luka Doncic as a Pacer next year, why not?
Yeah. Well, no, he's not going to be a Pacer because the Pacers are actually trying.
Oh, well, they might be trying, but they're so bad. Look at that roster.
But like, so when I was writing about Bojan last night, I was like going over their starting five. Like, they have a mediocre starting five, but it's like, in theory, it is Darren Collison, Victor Oladipo, Bogdanovich, Thad Young, Miles Turner. Like, that's not bad enough.
Yeah, and in the East,
right? Like, is that worse than, like, what is Atlanta's right now? Schroeder. Not Hardaway Jr., because he's gone, so Schroeder...
Yeah, not Hardaway Jr.
Schroeder, Bazemore...
They're probably glad about that.
Prince. No, and then, like, what is their front
John player? Collins.
Yeah. Like, they're going to suck.
Yeah, that's right. They probably are.
Which is smart. Like, if you lose your franchise player, embrace the tank for a year. You know? You're going to suck. That's cool. Mm. Like, that's why... I'm cool with you picking Indiana again. Because, like, we should talk about it. Their direction post-Paul George is baffling. Like, they need to just pick one. If you're going to lose Paul George and you're going to trade him for peanuts, embrace that you're going to suck. Like, that's cool. You need a third star. If you think Victor Oladipo is going to be a star and Miles Turner is going to be a star, you need a third one.
It's what Orlando did under the, you know, DeVos.
Yeah.
DeVos family. Mm-hmm. Because, they wanted to win immediately and then... The whole Dwight Howard wanting out thing happened, and they still tried to stay competitive. Good Lord. Yeah.
Oh, man. In retrospect, did Dwight Howard fetch the best return of any superstar in the last 5 years?
Hey, look, back in the day when it happened, everyone was so upset about the return. I was actually okay with it simply because of history. Mm-hmm. I thought they had a lot of chips. They just, you know, fucked it all up over a course of 2 years. So
they got they got like Vucevic, Harkless. They got a pick from the Sixers that they would later trade back to the Sixers for Elfrid Payton. I know they got like a couple random role players. I think they flipped a piece they got from that to get Evan Fournier. Huh. That's a fun thought experiment for the doldrums of the offseason. Sarah, do you have any other major losers?
I don't know about major losers. We probably could go ahead and throw Orlando in there just because is it not hopeful or optimistic that they're going to do anything great. Portland, you kind of have to grade on a curve because they screwed themselves last summer, so this summer is going to be tough. But, I think Dallas, it depends. We don't know what's going on with Noel yet, do we? Mm-hmm. So we're kind of in wait and see mode on that, but I think they, you know, their draft pick was good. So
yeah,
they're bringing Dirk back.
Yep.
So
on the cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they could be winners at least small time.
Yeah. Yeah. We have to see what happens with Nerlens. Yeah. I have in the TBD section is I have Milwaukee, Portland, Orlando, Washington, Phoenix, and Dallas. Dallas mostly because we just don't know what's going to happen with Nerlens. Washington, we assume they're going to match Otto, so that's like we'll just call them 50-50. Phoenix just hasn't really done anything. And then Milwaukee, Portland, Orlando also haven't really done anything.
You know what? Then I'm actually going to throw Phoenix into the winner pile because they decided that they could not get anyone. So they were going to go the we will take on bad contracts for an asset route. So far, they have not done any trades, but they've made the market know that we're willing to take on your bad deals.
Right.
That's at least a step in the right direction.
That's true.
So just because of the self-awareness that they showed there, that's a win. That's a win. Yeah.
And Josh Jackson's going to be a great fit on that team.
He is. Him slip number 99. That's a fun number to start your career with.
He's number 99. Oh, that's fantastic.
Yes, he is.
Phoenix has a sneaky, fun, young core with Booker, Jackson, Bender, Marquise Chris, TJ Warren, Eric Bledsoe's not that young, but he's still like kind of young. Alan Williams, we don't know what's happening with him.
Alex Len.
So, right, a lot of these teams that are TBD, mostly because we just don't know what's going to happen, or they just haven't. Like Milwaukee and Portland just can't really make that many moves because of their cap restraints. All right, guys, this was good. So next time, I think we could start firing off some hot summer league takes. Until then, just wanted to remind you that you can follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. In our bio, you can find all of our Twitter handles, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes, so please subscribe, download. We would love some reviews. And then you can find us this year on FanRag Sports. So follow them on Twitter at FanRag Sports and for their NBA content at FanRag NBA. Until next time, I'm Brian Toporek, and I was joined by Morten Jensen and Sarah Chalea. Have a good one, you two.
You too, Brian.
You too, Brian. I look forward to talking to you next week when Manu has retired.
Perfect. All right.
I'm never talking to y'all again, so.
Yeah, we'll need a third new co-host. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Take care.
Easter is coming up, and I just can't wait to have the whole family in one place. And of course, what's Easter without an awesome Easter brunch? Now, I don't know about your family, but mine is a little picky, and I really wanted to impress them with something delicious. A friend told me I should check out Total Wine & More. It was crazy! They must have every wine and beer imaginable. I told one of their friendly experts my situation, and they found me just the thing. This sparkling wine is going to be absolutely perfect for brunch, even with my picky family. I know next time I need something, I'm shopping at Total Wine & More. And more.